Verse 1, blessed are the ones who walk according to what? What's it say? The law of the Lord. Who keep what? His statutes. And who seeks Him with all their heart. And in doing these things, walk, keep, and seek, they do no wrong. They only follow God's ways, right? They only follow God's ways because they're walking, they're keeping, and they're seeking with all their heart. And I thought of Jesus who walked in complete harmony with the Father's will. And when I think about Jesus, He led an amazing life. Who doesn't want to lead an amazing life? No, He wasn't a rock star or a movie star. He didn't invent the light bulb, although I think He gave others the ability to do those things. But listen, He healed people who were physically, emotionally, and sometimes mentally sick. He had the ability to speak in people's very inmost part, their soul, and bring peace and comfort to them, as well as to reveal God and God's way for them. So they could find real peace, real contentment. Not the kind the world gives, but that which only God can give. The eternal peace, the eternal comfort, the eternal joy and contentment that everyone seeks in life. I thought on Jesus and how He lived in God's will, how He walked according to His law. Well, that was Jesus. But I fall short a little bit. I thought about keeping the statutes of the law. Well, Jesus did that well. I still fall a little short. And to seek God with all of His heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus did that exceedingly well. And I still fall short. I'm so divided at times between the Lord and the world, my own desires and God's will. How about you? How do you stack up in walking and keeping and seeking after God's will? I mean, if you're really wanting to have a deeper relationship with God, you know the barriers that you face. And like many others who follow Jesus, we come and get our shot of God on Sunday mornings. And that is to keep us close to God for the rest of the week. A lot of people do that. I remember talking with a really good person who went to church most of their life, and they stated they were not in tune with having a relationship with God. They felt that if they died, they wouldn't make it to heaven. They'd been going to church all their life. They were right about one aspect. You can bluff many other people in life, but you can't bluff God. These are lofty goals to keep, to seek God with all your heart. And you may say to yourself, and you have said to yourself, preacher, it can be difficult to walk, to keep, and to seek all the time. And for many of us here this morning or listening online, we're not the first to be challenged in our walk with God. So what is the answer? Well, the answer starts with the question the psalmist asks in Psalm 119:9. Read it with me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Yes, yes. You see the young in this question and you're all saying here, yeah, that's young, Pastor. And I'm saying it's young at heart, right? The new 60 is the new 50, right? The new 40 is the new 30. The new 80 is the new 65. So how can we stay on the path of purity? That's the question. How can we stay clean of heart, soul, and mind? What is really interesting to me is how the psalmist responds to the question. In the second part of that, it says, by living according to what? Your word. By living according to God's word. And even Paul in the New Testament stated that all scripture is good for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man or the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants to thoroughly equip you to do everything that He desires you to do. And to do that, you have to remain in the Word. And if you're not in the Word regularly, how can you know how to live? Sure, there's the the Big Ten, and I'm not talking about the athletic schools, but there's the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, and most people, frankly, are not even able to name all Ten Commandments. So how can you keep what you don't even know? So it's hard to live by something when you're not even sure what it says. Yes, again, there's the golden rule and the two great commands by Jesus to love God and to love neighbor. The golden rule is to treat others as you would want them to treat yourself. But to love God, Jesus says that the one who obeys God's commands is the one who loves God. Therefore, it makes sense, and you can note this, if we live according to God's word, then we show we love God. If we live according to God's word, then we show we love God. We've heard it all before. You can say you love me, but until you show me you love me, you don't really love me. Right? You could say it as much as you want, but until you demonstrate it. So if we're to live according to God's word, how does the psalmist say we should do it? What are some of the steps to getting to the place where we are living according to God's word, which helps us to really show love to God? What are those steps? Verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Seek. Seek with all my heart. Like we sang this morning, seek first the kingdom of God. Let's say in this very moment you're tracking with the psalmist and with God. And we have to note that your first step then is to seek God with all your heart. Heart. You ask God not to let you stray from His commands. There is your part and there is God's part. You seek, God helps you not to stray. If you don't seek, what's the likelihood of straying? It grows exponentially. The more you want to be a part of this world, the more you will struggle with seeking. And the harder it is for God to keep you from straying. Now remember, God's a gentleman. And if you want to jump into the chaos of the world and follow it, well, God's going to let you go ahead. He may remind you through your spirit. He may speak to your spirit, prick your heart, tell you, But you then have to make the decision to either seek God or seek the world. But if you're as serious about God as God is about you, then the second step to helping you seek and find God is this. Psalm 119:11. Say it with me. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, this was the first scripture I memorized. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, that began to push me into hiding God's word in my heart, to memorize and to meditate on it. It made a difference. And the second step is to hide God's word in your heart. Have you ever been to the theater or the movies or seen on TV an actor performing their role while reading their script? Have you ever seen that? An actor performing while reading their script? It might be funny for a moment, but it won't work. Not only would people not want to watch the show, but the actor would be a fake. Well, they are pretending to be someone they're not, but you're tracking with me, right? It would show that the actor really isn't serious about knowing the words on the page. They're not willing to hide those words and let them transform themselves into the character that they're supposed to be playing. They have neglected the script. Who here knows Sir Anthony Hopkins or have seen him in a show or a movie? He's considered one of the great actors of our day, and I heard that he reads his script 100 times from front to end before he even gets in front of a camera. 100 times. Imagine how he knows his words intimately. The words are hidden in his heart. How they teach him about the character he is supposed to become. How he delights in them. How they become one with him. His ability to transform into the character is directly based on his time in the script. And we have to note that our ability to be transformed into great Christians is directly tied into our time in God's Word and God's Word's time in us. Our ability to be transformed into great Christians is directly tied into our time in God's Word and God's Word's time in us. When we hide God's Word in our heart, we will not sin against Him. And like an actor on stage or screen, we are transformed into the character, into the image of Jesus as we hide God's Word in our heart. Are we not supposed to hide God's Word in our heart? So that we might relate to God better, so that we might live lives that are pure and holy, so that we might know and love God more, so that we might help others to know and love God more. In the rest of this morning's scripture, Psalm 119, we see words like this: teach me your decrees. I recount all your laws. I rejoice in following your statutes. I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. But it is the last verse in these verses, verse 16, which drives the point home for me and is what you and I must fight against. Psalm 119, 16. Read it with me. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. It's funny to me how the things we delight in are never neglected, isn't it? The things we delight in. If you delight in football, man, you're going to watch the games today because those are the last two games to play before the championship next week. Because you delight in football, you'll watch the games. In Bible study, it's funny to me how we delight in the things that we delight in, we don't neglect them. If we delight in exercise, we find time to exercise. If we delight in coffee, tea, or some liquid, we find time for it. If we delight in toys, whether they're small or the big toys, right? We work hard to buy what we want. And if we delight in being entertained, we become couch potatoes. If we delight in ICECREAM, say it with me, ice cream, even though we know we shouldn't have a lot of it, we find time for what we delight in. And too many Christians seem not to delight in God's Word. We must never neglect God's Word. And so we note in neglecting God's Word, we are in essence neglecting God. In Bible study this week, Pat reminded us of a family out in California where the parents were disregarding their children, even chaining some to their bedposts, only allowing them to shower once a year. The couple was arrested when one of the daughters escaped the home and found help. Listen, they thought she was about 10 or 12 years old. She was actually 17. But because of malnutrition, she was not as developed as she should have been. In fact, all of the kids, there were 12 of them, looked like children, and yet 7 of them were 18 to 29 years old. They were that undernourished. Of course, the parents were charged with abuse and neglect, and what's really the kicker is the mom who thought that they were a well-adjusted family. What she thought and what they were worlds apart. And in the Christian life, too many Christians believe they're well-adjusted. Not perfect, but good enough followers of God. And yet they neglect God's Word. Or only hear God's Word during the service once a week. And then somehow, for most, they cannot even recall it by the time that evening comes around. That's why we have sermon notes and devotions to help you to stay with this message all week long. And of course, if you want to, go online sometime during the week and listen to it again. But we note that if there is no hiding God's Word in one's heart, very little recounting or rejoicing or meditating or delighting in God's Word, there will be very little transformation in one's life. If there's no hiding God's Word in one's heart, there will be very little transformation in one's heart or one's life. Is it any wonder that the church in America is in decline as it is? Many people believe they're spiritual beings and say that they love God. They'll go to church, they'll put on a front, and they'll look really good, but there's nothing in them that's going to keep them alive. You have to be watered. You have to be well grounded. And the ground, that foundation that Christians must have, is the Word of God. But if the Word of God is missing, it leaves them malnourished and unable to be the shadow of what they could be for Jesus and the world. And we have to note that your relationship with God is best measured by your time in the Word. We also note that the psalmist states, delighting will keep you from neglecting. For some, the first step is simply to begin in delighting God's Word, or ask God to help you to delight, or some even help me to desire, or even pray, help me, Lord, to desire to be in your Word. I remember when I first started, I prayed those prayers. Lord, I want to delight in your Word. Help me to be in your Word. And so I memorized, I will hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then when I was not in God's Word, God would bring that scripture up and say, you hiding? Are you hiding from me, or are you hiding me in you, right? For some, the first step is simply to begin to delight in God's Word, to take it off the shelf, to dust it off, to open it up, and just to read a little bit. I know. I've tried to read it before from the very beginning, starting in Genesis, and when it comes to the law, let me tell you, it's a snoozer. It's a snoozer. Literally, it doesn't make any sense at times. Too many people think you have to read God's Word from the front cover to the back, and that is a wonderful, wonderful goal. And I encourage you to do it sometime. Get a one-year Bible. It divides the New Testament and the Old Testament in two parts, so you get a little bit each day that helps you to continue to read. But the real goal is to allow Jesus to speak to us and to speak to us daily. And so we note, to delight in something, you must want to be there. So you pray to want to be there. Pray for the desire to be in God's Word, and eventually you will delight in being in God's Word. So read through the Gospel of Mark. Why start at Genesis when you can go to the answer in Jesus? One chapter a day, or even one story a day. Write down one phrase or word that speaks to you while you read. Talk to God about it for a while. Even if you're done reading and you're getting ready for for work or whatever retired people do. But, yeah, I know, sometimes retired people are busier than they thought they were when they were working. But carry that word into the day. Talk to God about it into the day. What is God saying to you? You know, steal a glance at that word as though you're stealing a glance at your lover. Delight in it. Then talk to God before bed about what happened with that word during your day. It's not that hard. You just need to do it, to delight in it, to desire to do it. If your relationship with God is directly measured by your time in the Word, in no time you will be seeing yourself hiding God's Word and being transformed into the person that God wants you to be. It will be a delight. Others will notice too. Oh no. Others will notice too. Although that's not the goal. They'll want to know what you have been doing so that they can do it too. These people who say they're spiritual and live in our world will see you who are truly delighting in God's Word, who are hiding it in your heart. And they'll say, I want to be with you. Others will notice. And all of a sudden, life will be a delight too. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for what it tells us. And as we read your word, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to see the promises that you give us. The promises to be with us when we are with you. The promises that you'll love us when we love you. Well, you love us anyway. Lord, we ask that as we stand on your word, as we stand on your promises, Lord, that we will delight in them. And God, that you will draw us closer to yourself and we will become the people, the Christians that you have called us to become. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.